exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, it is that time. Time to start talking cars. It's, for many, the weekend on radio, on podcast. It's whatever the heck you want it to be. I am a car guy through and through. It's not something I can do anything about. I've tried taking pills, diets, enemas. I've tried it all. I just can't stop. I happen to love cars. Another guy the same way is Josh Hancock, who's my pal. He's been working with me now for perhaps too long. We could change that. He's tried changing it a couple times. No, but I take the big lasso and I pull him back in like I am right now. How you been, buddy?
I am good, Alan. May I suggest shock therapy?
Josh is the guy in all things film and television and what new media, whatever they call it these days, that matches the car and the character to make sure that they work in movies and television and all that kind of stuff.
And as true in real life.
Yeah, that's right. Because,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was talking to somebody, I'm trying to think where it was, about Alfa Romeo. Oh, that's right. I was talking about Alfa Romeo. We were talking about how the Mrs. Robinson and The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman and how, you know, how when I saw that movie, I mean, this is an old movie, right? Old. I was affected by the Alfa back in that day. I thought, that's a cool car. And that car stuck in my craw for 50 years now. It's like it's been in there, you know? I still happen to like it. So anyway, I'm glad Alfa's back with some cool cars. But movie cars make an impact on people, and that's why automakers and movie makers together work together. You know, look at James Bond, for goodness sake. Look at the movie you were involved with
Logan.
Well, that's one. I was thinking of the one with the spy that shagged me. I mean, all the
Austin Powers
movie. I mean, you know, it's like all those kind of cars, they stick with people, Josh.
They have an effect. It's a form of advertising, obviously, in a subtle manner, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know what else we find is it's very cyclical how the manufacturers get involved. If you go back to the 60s and the 70s, Ford and Chrysler really owned it, mostly Ford. But if you think of your favorite shows, the FBI, Mannix, Beverly Hillbillies, those were all shows back at that time that if a car manufacturer sponsored the show, any new car, it had to be from them.
Right.
And nowadays, what's changed is you can have a couple, and the husband drives an Audi and the wife can drive a Mercedes because it's got to reflect
reality.
Life.
Yeah, right.
And the manufacturers have finally come around to see that it's okay, you know? It's all right that there's two products on the screen and it won't look so forced. And you're still going to remember whichever car you relate to, and it's still going to have the same effect. So I'm glad to see these changes, by the way.
Well, imagine if, like, Fast and Furious, if it was all a bunch of Nissans or Dodge or whatever, you know, it would be like, okay, that's BS. I call BS.
You know, I kind of wanted to say a couple of things about that movie. I bet you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it yet. I haven't had time.
And why did I know that? Because you don't have time. Let me tell you something. If you're a real car guy, you see that movie.
Okay.
All right?
I'll see it tonight. Is it still in the movie?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I saw Vin Diesel at Live with Kelly in ABC in New York, and I got to stand and talk to him. And it's so funny because, you know, I haven't seen a lot of the movies. And I work with Sung Kang at SEMA. And I didn't know that they killed him off. You know, like, and I go, so what is your latest role in Fast and Furious? And he goes, I got killed off 3 or 4 episodes. I'm like, I haven't done. Oh, this is, you know what? I'm living it, though. I'm living it, Josh. You know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can also live it and you're on a fast train. You never see anything. So let's slow down and smell the coffee, shall we?
All right. Let me take a little break. We'll come back with more of my crazy friend, Josh Hancock from Josh Carr, joshcarr.com, and talk cars. And then we got a great show. We're going to talk about Carl Brower is going to talk about the Ford GT. that he drove in the second hour. We got Michael Austin going to be on the show from Autoblog. He drove the new McLaren. Whoo, supercars. Lots of good stuff. Josh and I will be right back. It is The Drive. She's a runner, rebel, and a stunner. From them everywhere, saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Josh Hancock's on the line. Our show brought to you in part by Catskin. Love your interior, but don't love those cloth seats. I'm doing some leather interior on my Chevy pickup right now. It's amazing what they do in 24 hours. You go in and design it, and you hit click, and you buy. You know, it ranges from $1,500 on up. And then, like, in 24 hours, they're shipping that stuff out to you. Check it out. It's amazing. Catskin.
I think it's why it's taken you 20 years to redo that truck. You were waiting for the right interior company to come along.
It's a 2011, so it's 6 years old. It's time to do it. And that's truck's going to be like brand new. All right. So Josh Hancock, the Hollywood Insider guy. Movies, movie cars, and all that kind of stuff is always fun.
I just wanted to say, you know, yesterday was the release of the new Guardians of the Galaxy, big Marvel movie, and who would think there'd be a big car tie-in with that? But actually, Ford really went for it with their new EcoSport.
Right, EcoSport with an EcoBoost. I know, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And this is a very small SUV, that market where the Mazda CX-3 is. There's a CX-5 and the CX-9. The CX-3 is this sub-compact.
Right, which is this same small. But this EcoSport thing is really, I mean, it's a bug's ear, tiny little itty-bitty SUV.
It is, and it's also, you can get a 1-liter motor in it.
Yeah, 3-cylinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you can't drive it because it can't lift you around. But other people can, even whole families. You can't, but other people can. So I'm just using it also as an example. I mean, first off, this is going to be a huge film. It's a big tentpole Marvel film. And the fact that they put – sometimes car companies will just pay for the premieres and tie their cars into it. Well, actually, the car is going to show up in the movie in about 3 scenes. I haven't seen it yet.
Interesting. Well, you know, and it's funny because this is how – A lot of these movies, they get into the real big profitability is product placement.
Yes. Well, as you mentioned earlier, I did Logan, which is the latest Hugh Jackman film in the continuation of his character as Wolverine. And we built some amazing automobiles for that, and we had full support from FCA, which, of course, as we all know, is the new Chrysler Fiat Automotive. And when I was talking about this being a cyclical thing in Hollywood, right now, FCA is the biggest go-to company because they want to be in every film.
Well, I think they're smart. They're really smart.
I think they are.
Yeah. By the way, I haven't seen that Hugh Jackman movie either.
Of course you haven't. Of course you haven't. And I told you to go because I did it.
You're right.
And you won't even go see it.
I don't have time, man. I'm sorry.
You don't have time. You don't have time for life. You're on that speeding train. Okay, I also want to talk about Cars 3. Before you cut me off and go to Carl because he drove the GT.
Next comes up Brian Armstead with the Alfa Romeo. Keep going.
Okay. Cars 3, that release date is June 20th. And everyone, of course, is waiting, anticipating that movie greatly. The interesting part about this animated feature is that Paul Newman was in the previous, he was in Cars 1, I think he was a little bit in Cars 2, Well, they're putting him in Cars 3 because it turns out that when he was in the studio doing these recordings, they never shut off the recorder. They have 28 hours of him telling car stories.
Wow.
So they were able to put together and use his voice as if he's in the film.
So why didn't he just do the voiceover?
Because he is not with us anymore.
What do you mean?
You see, this is about the speeding train that you're on. You don't know that Paul Newman passed away.
When did Paul Newman pass away?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know.
Really? What is the date on this show, anyway? Are we live? Are we in 2017?
May 6th or so. I don't even know. I don't know what the date is.
Maybe the news hasn't gotten up to Oregon yet, but the man is deader than a haddock.
Oh, nice.
As we would say in Maine. Anyway, it's kind of unprecedented. You know, we saw them finish the last Fast and Furious 7 by digitizing Paul Walker's face.
Oh, right.
Moving body. Well,
hold it. I got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. I got to go Google the fact that Paul Newman is dead. Where have I been? Living in a cave, I guess. We'll take a break.
No idea.
It is The Drive.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Not all projects offer enough space to swing a hammer. Now you can drive a nail in tight spaces with the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt Hammerhead Auto Hammer. With an adjustable head that pivots 0, 45, and 80 degrees, you can work on projects in tight corners or overhead with ease. Plus, two built-in LED lights and a convenient magnetic sleeve that helps position the nail will make your next project a breeze. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, and Sears Hardware Stores.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone. I'm still laughing about the Paul Newman thing. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. You know, when I was in 1979, I went to the prom with a buddy of mine, and Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward were there at the restaurant, and I was wearing a top hat and tail and cane and gloves, and I looked like, you know, Gone with the Wind, right? So I get up to go to the bathroom. I'm standing at the urinal. Who walks in? Paul Newman. And he says to me, "What's the special occasion?" I turn and look at him. I go, "I had to pee." And he goes, "I know you had to pee. What's the top hat?" And I said, "Oh, it's the prom." So but I had no idea he was dead. How long has he been dead, Josh?
Since he died in 2008, Alan.
Oh, my God.
My God. When did Steve McQueen die? Give me your guess on that.
Oh, man, that's been... So my Steve McQueen story is in 1976, I went to the Santa Paula Airport to a garage sale in a hangar in the Santa Paula Airport, and they had all this car stuff, and I was just the beginnings of being a real car guy, but I was fascinated with all this car stuff. And somebody says to me, "This is all Steve McQueen stuff." And I went, "Come on, you got to be kidding me." And they're like, "No, serious. He's right over there." And they point over at this guy with a big long beard. It might have been 77. You know, and I look over and I see this guy and I'm like, "Yeah, right. It's not Steve McQueen." Well, evidently, as you guys all know, that was Steve McQueen because there was a time when he did have a big bushy beard.
They did a show of some of Steve McQueen's cars at the Peterson. And one of the most interesting things they did was they had movie posters framed that went around the room for every movie he did. And I would say there were over 60.
Wow.
And it was fascinating to look at his career and how many films he did. But that was a real car guy.
You know what? You know? And I know Chad McQueen, his son, and I became friends with his son pretty good. And, you know, as I look back, I raced the Baja 500 with him and Jesse James back in 2003 or maybe 2004. Anyway, what a nice guy. And I saw him, I don't know, a year ago or so, and he's lived a rough life. You know, he almost got killed in a couple different racing crashes, and you know, he's just lived a really, really rough life. But as I look at a picture of him the other day, I was looking at a picture of him with he and I on doing this radio show, and I thought to myself, man, he really looks like his dad now. You know,
he really does.
So anyway, so back to the movie stuff, Hollywood Cars.
Well, I can go back to that, but I was going to say every day people are calling me, asking me car advice here. Whatever movie set I'm on, I'm helping somebody buy a car. I've never seen more people ask me about one car.
What's that?
Ford Raptor F-150.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody wants one. They are $20,000 over sticker.
Right.
They are being chewed up like crazy. And part of the reason is they become very popular in China.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And then we're talking, you know, they're 60 some odd thousand dollars. And I've seen them with window stickers as much as $89,000, $95,000.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Ford saw the trend here in the States. And then when they started to go really well, my information tells me that Ford has upped the wholesale price in China by at least $25,000. So they're doing their own dealer markup.
Right.
Well, can you believe that?
Yeah, well, when you got a commodity like that, I mean, that's what people do.
And you know, the dealers are screaming and yelling, and I say to the dealers, well, if you're going to charge over sticker, the only way you can do that is if it is this hard to get. So don't complain too much.
Yeah. What other Hollywood cars are hot in Hollywood right now? Or car, I should say cars.
I've got to say, we're just seeing a ton of this new Maserati Levante, which is their SUV.
Yep.
The Bentayga, the Bentley SUV that sells for, you know, in excess of $250,000, is selling like crazy, and not one of them is not modified once it's bought.
Really?
Yeah. They're customizing these things like crazy, wheels, grills, and you would think right out of the gate those things would be pretty stock since they're so expensive already, but it just baffles me. It's pretty much anybody can come out with an SUV right now. That's why Rolls-Royce has got one on the way. That's why Aston Martin has one on the way. The Jaguar F-Pace instantly became their sales leader as an SUV for that company.
Huh.
It's kind of amazing, and the F-Pace market is very hot, and they finally have the inventories up to where you can choose cars, but who would have thought?
All I can say is that there seems to be an excess of money in Hollywood for things like that.
Well, and, you know. I just came back from the East Coast. I was up in Maine, but when I was down in the Boston area talking to dealers, you know, there's a lot of money in Massachusetts, and there's a lot of customizing going on there, and it's somewhat of the same issue. People want very high price. I mean, look at Explorer back there. They're selling the Platinum. Who thought that a $55,000 Explorer is going to sell?
Yep.
It's telling.
It is telling. When we come back, by the way, everybody, we're going to have Brian Armstead, who's 6'7" or 8 or 9. I don't know. He's a giant man. Squeezed himself into a new Alfa Romeo. We'll find out more about that. Josh, we got to do more together. We got to start, you know, driving some cars and having fun. Been good having you on the show. Great talking to you again. Thank you so much.
I step off that speeding train every once in a while.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
All right. Josh Hancock, again, joshcar.com. I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to The Drive. We'll be right back. Talk Alfa Romeo Giulia right on the other side.
The Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370-horsepower Dodge Charger with a TorqueFlite 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest-growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, all I can say is this is called Sharp Dress Man. And whenever I am out on the road and I run into a, 6'7" man that is bigger than me and can crush me with one hand, I always look at him and say, wow, you're very well dressed, sir. That guy is Brian Armstead, and he is with AutoSense, and which is his brand, as mine is The Drive. And I am proud to call him my friend, and we are brothers from another mother, and we have been friends now for a good long time. Yes.
Dear Brother Alan, when are you gonna remember how tall I am?
How tall are you?
6'9".
You grew a couple inches. You're just it's big.
It's the human growth hormone that's in the 5-pound loaf of government cheese that I get every month.
6'9". How do you test drive cars being 6'9"? I'm 5 foot fat, and I could barely fit in some of these cars.
Well, you see the wedge job in this Alfa Giulia that, it's a struggle to get in, but once I'm in, it's a heck of a ride.
So just to tell the world, how I find the contributors to this show is on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, Brian's got the Giulia. I'm going to find out how a 6'9 guy gets inside that car. I knew you had that thing. I love those cars. By the way, I had it on the racetrack. The day I'm at the racetrack with the Giulia, it's raining. So I really couldn't appreciate much about the car because all I did was drive kind of up and down and around like an idiot. But, you know, I mean, we're talking twin turbo V6 because you got the Quadrifoglio, right?
I've got the piece de resistance. How do you say that in Italian, by the way?
I don't know. Piece of resistance, I think, is what you're trying. I don't know. Do I look Italian? I guess maybe I do.
Yeah, you can pass.
More than you, that's for sure.
Some of those shark skin suits that you wear, you can pass for Italian.
Hey, by the way, what do you think of that? So it was going to be live with Kelly and Alan. Now it's live with Kelly and Ryan Seacrest. What are they thinking? They're crazy. They could have paid me 1/10 of what they paid him. You know,
if they wanted a tall Negro, I could have been on the show with them. I mean, you know, at half the price.
They didn't want you. They didn't want a 5 foot fat Italian. I don't know.
What the heck, man?
Blonde guy, blue eyes. What is that? All right. So tell me about the Giulia, which I don't know how many people actually know about. Alfa Romeo, they really have some nice vehicles now. Of course, they have the sporty one. They've got the sedan, which is the Giulia. And now they've got the SUV about to come out, not even on the streets yet. The Stelvio.
The Stelvio. Right. I mean, I love these Italian names. And it's just, you know, first of all, Alfa is like a 100-plus-year-old company. I believe they've been around for like 106 years. Don't quote me exactly on that, but it's a ballpark. I know they've been around for a while. You know, when you think back to the 70s and 80s, they had these beautiful boat-tail spiders that, you know, there were two-seat cars with a high-mounted gear shift lever that you could just snick all day long in. Manually operated top, 2-liter, 4-cylinder engine with, you know, with dual cams, just the sweetest-sounding car that you could buy back in the day, you know, before all of the safety regulations and emissions regulations. I'm happy that we have safety and emissions regulations, but they've kind of taken the fun out of driving, so to speak. Now, when you think of pure driving cars, Alan, you can think of the Mazda Miata, you can think of the Porsche Boxster, the Porsche Cayman. There are a lot of cars, depending on your level of testosterone, maybe the Chevy Corvette. There are a lot of cars out there that are becoming fun to drive, but back then, all the cars were fun to drive. You had the Fiat Spider. You have the MG and the MGB, all these cars from Europe that flip the top back, get on the road, have a great time.
Right.
So the Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio, even the Giulia base model, kind of harks back to that time when, you know, when driving was a pure experience. And this Quadrifoglio, let me tell you, my friend, she's my new Italian sweetheart. I got to tell you, she's got a twin turbo heart, 505 horsepower. 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3.8 seconds, rev matching downshifts, rev matched upshifts. Every shift of this 8-speed automatic transmission is as crisp as you can get. I mean, it has paddle shifters on the steering wheel. They're nice pieces of metal. They stay there. They look pretty. But all you need to do really these days is plant your right foot and listen to the Italian symphony. Let me tell you, it's a V6 symphony. The only thing to me that sounds sweeter is a Bugatti Veyron with 16 cylinders, 4 turbos, 4 wastegates, and 1,001 horsepower kind of going mad behind your ears because it's a mid-engine car. I'm dumbfounded that, first of all, I'm dumbfounded that I could get in the car.
Right.
I tested it out initially at the Chicago Auto Show, so I knew that when, you know, the local company that brings the cars to me, ESI, one of the local companies, I knew that I could say, yes, please put the Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio on the schedule. And then as my journalist colleagues like you and some others started to really rant about the car, you know, it's, you kind of look forward. You look at the schedule. Okay, I've got 2 weeks before the Giulia. I've got, you know, 10 days before the Giulia. And you really kind of get excited. And when you first walk up to the car, it's sexy. It's Italian. I mean, you know, they build Fiat, yes, but they also build Maseratis and Lamborghinis.
And Ferraris, right?
And Ferraris. How could I forget about Ferraris?
Well, and to that point, this engine is a Ferrari-derived engine, hand-built, twin-turbo, exactly. V6. And it's like, that is the beauty of that relationship, like you were just talking about with all these other ones. And by the way, we cannot go too far without talking about where I saw the first Alfa Romeo and fell in love with Alfa Romeo was in the movie with Dustin Hoffman, The Graduate, right?
Oh, yes.
And
that probably was a Duetto Spider, right?
And the interesting thing is that how big product placement is in movies today. Matter of fact, Josh Hancock, you know, who's on my show, is the Hollywood insider because that's what he does for a living, is help make sure that the movie and the car and the characters, you know, are kind of matched properly, like Dustin Hoffman was in that movie. That was what a great movie. I gotta rent that movie, man. I'm write that down.
So you're saying this guy Josh would put me in a Hummer H2 or a Chevy Suburban right off the bat, huh?
Oh, Winnebago.
Oh, he's killing me.
Anyway, so the question is: now you got to live with the car for a number of days. Was the car a joy to drive in everything you did, or were there any niggly things like, oh, I can't see, there's a blind spot here? I mean, did there was anything at all that kind of, you know, I'll give you an example. I'll drive a car for a number of days. I'll give it to my wife, and I'll say, I want you to drive this today. She'll call me up. She'll go, this thing has a horrible blind spot. And I'm like, okay, well, yes, it does. And so sometimes I need to hear it from somebody else.
Well, I'm actually doing this review from the car.
You're kidding.
I'm in Annapolis Mall in Annapolis, Maryland. My daughter's inside at Cheesecake Factory. We're about to celebrate her finishing up the semester. And I'm sitting in the parking lot behind the wheel of this beauty. You know, really, the only thing that you have to get used to is that there are some parts bin pieces in the car. The switch gear, like the headlight switch, the heating and cooling apparatus. It's clearly from the Chrysler.
The Chrysler
and I understand
group.
That yeah, it's Fiat Chrysler Automobiles owns Alfa and Maserati. And, you know, I understand parts bin engineering. So it doesn't look offensive in this car. My chief auto critic, Eden, my daughter, got in and said, oh, this is better than I thought it would be. It's got kind of a seamless piece of plexiglass over the center display, which flows very nicely into carbon fiber on the dash. The upper dash is dual stitched. It's got red stitching over black leather. You know, there's the only thing that's really kind of out of place is that the Alfa Romeo logo on the steering wheel is not in color.
Excuse me.
When you pay $80,000 for a car,
all right.
You know, it's in color. When
yeah,
you
that's
the car,
that's one of those. That's one of those little
Diggly.
Pieces of jewelry that you like to stare at. All right, hang tight, Brian. Let me take a little break. Brian Armstead, he is AutoSense, and I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We'll take a short break. Again, this show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, we get to drive some fun cars being automotive journalists. It's BJ Colleen, who's on the show, Josh Hancock, that's on the show, Brian Armstead. Right now, Brian's here. It's a job. Somebody's got to do it. So another day in the office. Brian's sitting in his office right now. Oh, the Alfa Romeo Giulia, 505 horsepower, 3.8 seconds, 0 to 60, which used to be funny. That used to be really fast until, you know, like the Jeep, what do they call it, the Trackhawk, the Grand Cherokee. They just showed at the New York Auto Show. Right?
I forget that. The Dodge Demon.
Yeah, but I'm talking an SUV that does 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. And the Alfa, was it the Alfa Stelvio, does 3.9 seconds, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
sure it is.
That's
screaming. I'm sure it's got the goosed up version of the same V6 twin turbo.
Right. Well, and it is also the, what version is this one you're driving? It's called?
The Quadrifoglio.
The Quadrifoglio. And I always go, you mean the Quadrifoglio? And they're like, no, it's Quadrifoglio. And I'm like, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so you were talking about this car. By the way, did you get any adverse weather, like, you know, rain, snow, or are you just on dry streets there? It's springtime.
No. This is rear-wheel drive, and I have a big old size 14 lead-laden right foot. So I also am test driving a Kia Cadenza this week. It's been dry, but you know, this is not an all-wheel drive car.
Yeah.
And yes, it has all of the electronic stability control and all those things that you want in a car to help keep you going in a straight line. But you know, this is a dry weather car. You don't even want to take it out of the garage when the weather's fall. It's covered in pollen now. I'm really embarrassed about that. The car is a gorgeous micro red. It's called a Rosso Competizione. It's a tricolor exterior paint that's just stunning.
Yeah, stunning. When I was on with the Stelvio and it was this beautiful red, it was that same color. And yep. The co-host, I can't remember the guy's name, Morris Chestnut, he says to me, what color is this? I go, red. Thank you very much. All right, next. It's like, you know, I don't know what. Who cares what they call the car?
That was hilarious.
It's like, oh, my God.
I just wanted to follow up before we went to the break. He said, what do I not like about the car?
Yeah.
So it's all niggly nitpick stuff. You know, it's got a beautiful carbon fiber enhanced, aluminum enhanced, flat bottom steering wheel that's leather at the top, nice red stitching, start stop engine button. Right on the steering wheel. You got to see it to believe it. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
Like straight out of Formula One.
Right.
But the only thing about it is it's as thick as a Chrysler 300 steering wheel. I want something with, you know, to put these big paws on. I want a little meat on my steering wheel. So if they added another inch of circumference to the steering wheel, they'd really be doing Alfa aficionados a great service.
But again, your hands, I mean, they're not humans. They're Neanderthal.
No.
They're
my hands are not large.
6'9", man. You're sick. Just come to reality.
That's why I don't play basketball, because I would break my fingers all the time. I have tiny hands for a guy.
Well, you know what that means. Anyway, keep going.
No, I have big feet.
Oh, okay.
So, pass that test, trust me.
Okay.
but you know, the driving experience, phenomenal. My daughter she's 24 years old now, so since the time she was born, just about, I started riding back in 1999, so she was about 7 years old when I started showing up to school every day with a new car. And she's been in everything. And when I put the hammer down, you have three drive modes on this Alfa Quadrifoglio. You have DNA, a DNA selector. D is for flat-out performance, N is for moderate driving, and A is for screen grotting.
And A is for also, I got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back on the other side. It's got small hands, everybody, and big feet. We'll have to find out what that means. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So this is called Legs. It's by ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons, a friend of mine, car guy, rock and roll gearhead, his book. And I've got the guy on the phone here who's calling in from an Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio, who has got legs that go literally all the way up to my eyebrows. He's like 6 foot 27. I don't know. Literally, 6 foot nine, right, Brian?
That's right.
You're an animal. You're a gigantic man. You scare me.
Couple of biscuits shy of 320, so we have to work on that part.
Well, we're the same weight. I'm just a whole 3 feet shorter. All right, so the question is, because this is an important car, Alfa Romeo was gone from the U.S. for a long time. They finally came back with their little C4, 4C, well, I don't know what it is, a little sports car.
The 4C.
I get it all mixed
which
up.
Cannot fit in it.
Of course not. It's like a shoe. You put one on each foot, and you go!
Yes.
But the driving impression, so now that Alfa's back in a big way, they've got a sports car, they got a sedan, they got an SUV, God knows what else is coming. But a beautiful machine. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Man,
driving impressions. How did you give us the rest?
Well, you know, like I was saying before the break, Alfa and this Giulia Quadrifoglio has a DNA drive mode system with race mode. So basically, if you want to save a little fuel and get to 24 miles a gallon you promised on the highway, you put it in A mode. So A means it's the green mode, and you'll get a green schematic up on the center console. If you put it in A, that's like the normal driving mode. And when you put it in D, DNA, D is for dynamic mode, and you just get all flat-out performance. There is a separate race mode where you turn off all of the electronic stability aids. You can hang the tail out on a Giulia, really have a lot of fun. That's for people who really know what they're doing. Folks, do not switch off your electronic stability control unless you're a professional.
And even then,
they crash too. But this car is laden with technology. It's got a carbon fiber drive shaft, Alan.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lightweight component. I mean, just think of all that rotating mass that's no longer there. The drive dynamics, the car is comfortable. It will not beat you to death, even when you're in sport mode. And the shock absorbers tighten up. It has an electronically adjustable shock parameter on top of the DNA race selector as well. Decent-sized trunk. I mean, you wouldn't want to travel cross-country in it unless you had, you pack very light. The back seat has decent amount of room if you have a normal-sized driver and a normal-sized front passenger.
Right.
For me, I essentially turn the car into a three-seater, but that's most cars that I drive.
Right.
It's got all of the accoutrements that you want, decent audio system. But, you know, I don't even turn the audio system on. It's got XM radio and Bluetooth for audio streaming and all that stuff. I don't want to hear that garbage.
Right.
All I want to hear is that 2.9-liter V6 howling, screaming in sweet Italian notes that are just a real joy to the ear. You know, this car is a true testament of what brilliant minds can put together. The base price was $72,000 for the Giulia Quadrifoglio. If you want just a regular Giulia, they started about $36,000, $37,000. If you want the full tilt, all the bells and whistles, my test car came in at $79,195.
Wow.
It's just a real impressive automobile. Now, already all the chatter amongst our automotive journalist friends are, they're going to wait for a couple of years, buy one used, and just enjoy the heck out of it, you know?
Well,
just enjoy the heck out of it.
I can tell you right now that, you know, it's interesting how today you can buy the base model in the 30s. And if you wanted loaded up with everything, 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 you're in the 70s and closing in on the 80s. It's amazing.
Well, yeah.
Well, and but the nice thing is that, you know what, if you want to start, it's just the same thing with the Dodge Challenger. You get a Dodge Challenger
right.
in the 20s,
right.
or you can spend,
right.
you know, in the 70s, right? Same deal.
Yeah.
So,
well,
all
you
right.
can get the, you get a Demon for, after they mark it up for, you know, over $100,000.
Yeah.
$37,995 for the base Julia. It's got a V6 in it, like a 2-liter, I forgot the size of the engine in the base model.
Yeah.
But it's a 280 horsepower, 2-liter four
yeah.
turbo intercooled four. So great car, man. Really love it.
Well, by the way, to honor our relationship, I'm playing a little MC Hammer for you, okay?
Uh-oh. Here comes the hammer.
Brian Armstead, AutoSense, thank you for your review of the Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio. And
I'll pictures at Road Gear Sun on Instagram, at Road Gear Sun.
At Road Gear Sun. All right. Very good. That's Brian Armstead, everybody, my 6'9" brother from another mother. And another father, too, of course. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We'll take a little break for some news and be back with another hour. Ryan, talk to you soon. Be careful in that Alpha.
Thank you.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, welcome everybody. Our show brought to you in part by GoRVing.com. That's right, spring is upon us. Get ready. Get ready, everybody. It's time to go RVing. And I'm a big RV guy. I don't know about you guys, but man, I got to go RVing. That's all there is to it. I'm Alan Taylor. We're talking with my buddy Carl Brower. Carl is the executive publisher of Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. One of the luckiest guys I know, besides myself, I consider myself one of the luckiest guys I know, but one of the other luckiest guys is Carl. And we happen to be in this fun business called the car business. At a level at this point in our careers where we actually enjoy some of the crap we have to do, which is like Carl had to go drive the new Ford GT, which nobody's done yet. So, Carl, I know that some of the information is embargoed, but pray tell, how did you love it?
Well, you know, I mean, 647 horsepower car.
Don't start like it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Come on.
It's, you know, just one of the list of the to-dos that Carl's got to deal with. But
wait a minute. Did you just announce the horsepower? 647?
Yeah, 647 horsepower, top speed 216. And I didn't, not that I went anywhere near that speed, of course. We kept it well below 170 when I was, we didn't go anywhere near that speed when I was driving it. So we were very safe.
God.
It was kind of a crazy deal. I mean, it was an OD on Ford GT, which is kind of, nirvana for me. I drove my personal 2005 Ford GT from Los Angeles to Salt Lake City. That's about 700 miles each direction. So that I could bring the old one to the new one and have an angle that most other journalists won't have. It was a lot of fun to be able to get them both in the same video and the same photos. And actually, what was really cool was that one of the race drivers for the Ford race team
he drove my car on the track as well. So he didn't just drive. He was given hot laps in the new one, but he also drove mine, and he was one of the main kind of feedback guys on the street tuning of the car.
Wow.
So his name's Billy Johnson. He's one of the racers, and he also was one of two primary race drivers for the race team that was giving feedback to Ford on how to tune the street version. When he saw a second-gen Ford GT, my 05 up there, he was like, wow, I've never driven one, and I'm really curious. And I'm like, well, I know how to solve this problem. And so,
well, awful generous of you because, I mean, that's your baby, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
I wanted him to experience it. We were going sideways most of the way around the track because the car's so easy to drive. My car's so easy to drive. And he really enjoyed it.
Wow, that is so awesome. So a couple questions on this vehicle. So Carl Brower again, executive publisher for Auto Trader and KBB, Kelley Blue Book. And he does own a 2005 Ford GT and had to sell body parts and organs and hair and everything else to afford it back then. What have they announced the price of this vehicle to be for the next gen?
They have not made an official announcement, but enough people out there kind of know that it starts right at $450,000.
Whew, so, man. I mean, this is amazing,
I was giving the Ford guys a hard time because, you know, it's like, guys, you know, 12 years ago when I had to buy the last one, it was really more than I should have been spending on a car, but I went ahead and did the financial stretch and was able to pick it up. Now, if you'd have made this one the same price as the last one, it would have been, you know, kind of a deal. But once again, you have to, like, say, well, let's price this just so that we can have Carl Brower flirt with bankruptcy to buy it, just like last time.
You're right. So Carl is one of the lucky that, you know, the few that get to buy one because he did drive his 29. How many miles did you put on yours?
It crossed 30,000 coming back.
Right, right. So, I mean, they looked and scrutinized everybody up one side and down the other that wanted to buy one and said, you know, we don't want these things going in the garage. We want these things out in the wild. These are halo cars for us all, you know, in the automotive industry. We want to see them on the street. Carl's one of those guys that would actually take his out and do what should be done, like going sideways around a racetrack. Let me take a little break, come back, and talk to you a little bit more about your experience in the new 2017/2018 Ford GT. Unbelievable machine, and I should know, I drive a Viper ACR, and that's going to be a great race, Carl. We'll take a break. This is The Drive. Stay with us. Hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. Our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. Special guest right now, Carl Brower, my pal. He is the executive publisher at Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader, and he is also the owner of a Ford GT, a 2005 model. And he's gotten a chance to get behind the wheel of the new GT, the new 2017, 2018. What are they calling it? 2017? What is it?
It's a 2017 this year. And of course, they're only going to make about 250 a year, and they're going to make them for 4 years. So there's only going to be about 1,000 total. I'm on the allocation list for a 2018, so I'm supposed to be able to put my order in about a year. So it'll be a long wait, although it's kind of fitting because it was approximately 3.5 years from the time they rolled out the concept of the 2005 car in 2002, January of 2002. And I got it in August of 05. So I waited 3.5 years from the first time I saw the car till the time I took delivery. And it's going to be almost the exact same amount of time again before I get to have my car after seeing after the car was debuted in January of 2015. Mm. So it's all part of a master plan. I'm sure.
V6 engine, twin turbo, 647 horsepower, almost 650 horsepower, which is amazing. Super light. Do you have the weight on that car by any chance?
It's like right around 3,100 pounds. There's a competition model that's a little lighter,
yeah,
but it's just over 3,100 pounds.
Amazing. Is there anything at all you can share with us? I know there's still an embargo on driving impressions, as Carl, being the executive publisher, gets to drive it early and a potential owner. I mean, future, not potential, because the only way that keep anything from, you know, stopping him from buying it would be death, I think. So I know him well. Driving impressions, what can you tell us? Is it as awesome as you thought?
Yeah, I can certainly tell you that, you know, it's not chump change, as we've already established. And I probably had a little extra level of interest in how well the car was executed. And I can tell you that after driving it, I have not decided to not buy the car. I am still buying the car. So I think that should tell you at least some level of what the car's like. But, you know, I think the best part for me that I can talk about is just that there's this real aggressive aero going on with the car that's already been fully reported on. But the fact that it's got so much advanced technology in the just shape of the vehicle and the active, you know, rear spoiler that moves up and down and the front grille openings and all that literally, you know, suck the car down onto the road, that helps you stabilize the car at, you know, 216 miles an hour at its top speed, but it can also supply downforce just during regular track driving where, you know, you're only going, say, 100 to 160 or something, depending
only
on the track.
Yes.
Yeah, only, you know, when you're just at that lower level. So it was really neat to see it in person, you know, because we've been reading about it for months, you know, and it's got the suspension system, again, that's already been reported on, that'll move it up and down, you know, like almost 2 inches. So the car, you know, can basically slam itself down when it's in a track situation, but not destroy itself on public roads by coming back up and avoiding the imperfections we all deal with on a regular basis on public roads.
Right.
So seeing that all in person was really something special.
Can you talk a little bit about comfort at all? I mean, I don't know how much is embargoed for you.
Well, I can't. I don't know. I can tell you this, that again, everyone's seen that it's a very narrow cockpit. So two NFL linebackers will not fit in the car at the same time.
So you and me are out.
Well, you know, it's funny because, again, this is a race car, and everyone knew it was going to be a race car. You know, it was actually relatively recently that it was basically fully divulged how the car came to be. And it's fascinating because essentially that Ford wanted to go back and race at the 50th anniversary of their win in 1966 for the 2016 race last June. And they were thinking of going with a Mustang because that was something they could easily kind of envision. And they did all the analysis, and there was no way a Mustang would have been competitive. And they didn't want to go there and race. They wanted to go there and win.
Win, right.
And so the Mustang was killed by the management. So they secretly, Raj Nair specifically, secretly started developing the GT without anyone knowing, with like 12 people in a secret location. And he got it to a point where it was so compelling on everything from the design to the specs and what they knew it was going to be able to do, that by the time he did show it to the leadership at Ford, they were like, yeah, keep going. So it was brilliant on his part. And of course it worked. They went to Le Mans last June. I was there in person,
yeah.
And they won. So 50 years to the day in 1966, they won again in 2016.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, you know what? Congratulations. You're one of those few guys that so much is the champion of us other crazy car guys. You and I, you know, you starting at Hot Rod Magazine and me in my career at Motor Trend, you know, we're brothers in that way. And today now we're still talking cars all these years later. And matter of fact, I need one more segment with you to talk some more cars. Stay with us, Carl. I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to The Drive, and our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
For fast, powerful, and portable ratcheting without a power cord or air hose, pick up the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt Max Access Auto Ratchet. The ratchet head delivers up to 420 inch-pounds of torque at 225 RPMs, enough power to turn just about any stubborn fastener quickly. The pass-through design eliminates the need for deep sockets and lets you tighten and loosen long bolts fast, even in tighter workspaces. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
I can't stop this feeling.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, there's just something about cars that are coming out today that just bring the native out in me. I don't know how to explain it. But Carl Brower's on the line. We were just talking about the new Ford GT. He has been behind the wheel. He couldn't tell us all of the driving impressions. We'll do that when they do release that. But Carl, there's another vehicle out there that made me kind of just makes me, you know, want to grab my spear and run naked out into the field, which is the Dodge Demon. We're talking 840 horsepower and a machine that will pop a wheelie and street legal. I mean, it's like that blows my mind. Does it not blow your mind?
Oh, it's primal. Oh, it's primal.
Right,
that's for sure.
Right,
you know,
primal. Good word.
It stirs very old primal forces in the car guys like us. Yeah. I got to tell you, I was not able to attend the New York Auto Show this year for the first time in like 10 years. I actually had a conflict with a family vacation, and I was one of those silly people, and I put my family first. I don't think I'm going to let that happen again. But you know, I was able to watch it live. I was actually in Australia in the time difference, and I was like, wait, I think it's on right now. And I flipped on my iPad and watched it live.
That's awesome.
And I know you were there, and you were around the car ahead of time, so you had extra special access to the thing. And I was, you know, as blown away as I thought I might be by the numbers they were talking about and the visuals they did during the intro with the flames and the drag strip and all that. But I just can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe the world we're living in, you know. And you know, I've got a piggy bank with only so much volume, and I can't afford everything I want. And because the GT's on my list, things like the Demon can't be, which kills me, because I would be very tempted by a vehicle like that, knowing what it's got going on and the kind of capabilities it offers.
Well, you know what's interesting about this vehicle is that it's not just that it's, 2.3 seconds 0 to 60, which is completely unbelievable, because it's a giant car, right?
Right.
And it's not just that it pops a wheelie, because that ain't ever been done before by a car manufacturer on a street legal car, right? With a warranty.
Right.
there's just all these things that just keep adding up and adding up and adding up. I love the fact that they're even offering it, that you can buy it and take it straight to the racetrack type thing with no passenger seat, no rear seat. But if you want those, they're $1 each. Of course you're going to buy them, you know. But I love all the little things that they did to this vehicle. Tim Kuniskis and his team, his maniac team of auto maniacs, have done something that at a time when everybody's zigging, he's zagging. He's making this machine that literally there was some, I don't know, some craziness that the car should be banned and all that from the streets. And I don't know whether that was just, you know, kind of, I don't know, just noise to get attention. But, well, you know, what are your thoughts on that, by the way? Because you and I haven't talked since this all happened.
Well, you know, I wasn't around for the first muscle car era. I just missed it. But every time I'd look at the advertisements, I'd look at the color names, you know, I would look at the capabilities and the horsepower numbers and how the manufacturers were willing to advertise that original muscle car era, I was like, man, you know, those cars are never going to be that cool again when I was a kid growing up. And I love the fact that, you, like you said, you've got someone like Tim Kuniskis and a brand like Dodge who has gone over the top. They have eclipsed the craziest things going on in the late 1960s muscle car era.
Excuse me. Let's change that word from crazy to wonderful. Thank you. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, I love the fact that they can produce a car that will actually have some people screaming it should be banned.
Right.
That means you're on the right track. If you're taking today's people and today's quote-unquote sensibilities, and I put big quotes around that word, if you're offending today's sensibilities with cars you're coming out with, you're doing something right. And, I mean, I know Tim well enough to know that's exactly the way he thinks, and that's exactly what he wants Dodge brand to do.
Well,
and
you know, I mean, here's the thing. Even think about the Hellcat, right? It was already crazy enough at what, a 707 horsepower, but I drove the thing. I got 22 miles to the gallon on the highway. I mean, 22 miles to the gallon with 707 horsepower already was wild. But to go 840, it'll probably still get. My guess is still going to get 20-21, depending on how you drive. I mean, just because it can doesn't mean you should. You know what I'm saying? Go 0 to 60 all the time like that. Obviously, the car is designed, you know, it's got a purpose. It's a purpose-built kind of car for, you know, drag race-hungry kind of fun guys that want to be able to drive their car to the racetrack and then put it on the track. Of course, now you got to put a roll cage in it and all that if you want to go NHRA. And that's the banned part. It's not really technically banned. You just have to now wear, you know, you have to do things differently. Put a roll cage in it, whatever else the rules and regulations require. But I just think it's great, personally.
Well, that's the fabulous part of the world we live in now, is we have the technological capability to make these dual-purpose cars that can do crazy performance numbers and still get crazy MPG and fuel efficiency numbers. You know, my GT has been modified. My Ford GT, it makes 618 rear-wheel horsepower, which is like 700 at the crank. And it got 21 mpg to and from Salt Lake City.
That is
and
awesome,
Los Angeles. So, again, it's proof that you don't have to sacrifice or compromise one element just to have the other. That's what technology is giving us. And the Demon's probably the most extreme example of that you can have a safe, functional, drivable street car that, by the way, would pull quarter-mile numbers that you would have had to have a heavily modified, trailered vehicle to do not that long ago.
Totally. Carl Brower is the executive publisher, Auto Trader, and Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. I'm just glad to see that you are, you know, my kind of guy, brother. Keep up the good work.
Great being on with you, Alan.
All right, we'll take a little break. Thank you, Carl. And we'll be back with more of this automotive insanity. There's just so much good to talk about. Stay with us. You're listening to The Drive. We're laughing and I'm joking and
the Dodge brothers weren't big on self-restraint, and thank goodness for that. Because when you're always pushing the limits, you engineer cars like the available 370 horsepower Dodge Charger with a Torque Flight 8-speed automatic transmission. It's why Dodge is the only brand that grows as fast as it drives. One drive and you'll discover why Dodge is America's fastest growing performance brand. Data is calculated using the latest available year-over-year retail vehicle registrations. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, you know what? I mean, who doesn't love a fast car? And supercars, I happen to own one, for goodness sakes. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. And I have a Viper ACR, holds 14 track records at 14 racetracks. And so when I hear supercar talk, that is the chatter on the internet and on Facebook, I go, all right, well, we got to call all the buddies that have driven these things. So the next guy up is Michael Austin, editor-in-chief of Autoblog.com, who has been revamping their website. By the way, looks really nice, Michael.
Yeah, well, we just put a bunch of news up at the top. So we revamped it, give it a new look, show people we're more than just news. We've got car shopping and stuff. And then all the people that said, you know, well, a bunch of people said, where'd the news go? Well, we made it easier to find. It's right there at the top. We've got 12 stories right there. And if you click to the right, you get another 12. So hopefully that will make a lot of our loyal fans a little bit happier.
Well, you know what they say. If you have news that people want, they're going to dig through it and find it. And news that I happen to want from you is McLaren 720S. It's just like, I mean, we had Carl talking about the Ford GT. If there's a competitor out there, this is it.
Yeah, and we had our own Greg Migliori drive the Ford GT. We're gonna debate. We haven't had time to debate it internally, but so I haven't driven the Ford, but the McLaren is amazing. Yeah. It's just so fast. That was the one thing. Every time you hit the gas, you know, like you're coming around the track, you're coming out of the corner, you ease on the gas, and like where your brain goes, hey, this is fast enough, your foot's like halfway to the floor. And, you know, like split second when you start flooring it. Every time you floor, you're like, oh, dear God.
right. Well, and it's funny and because that, now the GT, the Ford GT is $450,000 and you can't get one. What's the story with the McLaren?
Well, that's another beauty thing of the McLaren is it starts at 280. I imagine by the time you put some parts on, it's like 284 to start. Right. No gas guzzler tax, interestingly. Mm. And then once you put stuff on it, you're probably into 300,000. But it's regular production. I mean, I'm sure they have some orders again, but, you know, they're not, you walk in, you call McLaren and say, hey, I want to get one of these. They'll say, what color do you want it in?
Nice. Well,
and it's 710 horsepower, you know, 212 miles an hour, 0-60 and I think 2.8. So it's every bit the Ford's rival. And it's, I got to be honest too, it's pretty comfortable driving around town.
You know, the last time I drove a McLaren, and it's been a while because they don't like me because I'm a bad boy. Okay. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to admit to anything. I got to tell you, the first thing that happened to me, it was so crazy fast. These things have such acceleration that you get like vertigo. Did you get any vertigo with this thing with that kind of speed?
I didn't get vertigo, but we drove it at a track in Rome, and so we had a driving coach next to us,
right.
And so we were at Vallelunga, and there's this really like a right hander into like this sweeping left, and it's really fast, like over 130, I think like 150 miles an hour. And the guy in the right seat is like, okay, you know, bring it in, get on the gas, go. And he's saying go, and my brain and everything about me, you know, driving this $300,000 car that's not mine is saying, I'm going to wait a minute here. It's like, this guy even trusts me, and I don't trust myself because it is, again, it's so fast, I'm not able to quite process it. And even once I got used to the car and was able to, you know, really balance it through the corners and you know, pick up speed in other areas. The real high-speed areas, it was still like, oh, man, this is a little bit of vertigo.
You know, I'm telling you, it's like if you looked at me when I'm driving these cars sometimes, my eyeballs roll back in my head like a great white shark taking a bite out of a seal. You know, it's like I'm just, for a moment there, I'm like, no! I'm holding on for dear life, you know? It's so fun.
And, you know, I came out of it, you know, we talk about technology on Autoblog, we talk about autonomy, and we have all these driving aids that are coming. I came out of this going, you know what, forget autonomy. This is what the future of cars needs to be. Everyone needs to be getting out of SUVs and thinking about, you know, how does this car drive? Is it good to drive, and is it quick, and is it balanced? And nothing else should matter. I'm really, that really kind of sort of brought me straight back into the fold of like, no, cars are meant to be driven. If we need to not drive, let's find another way to do that.
You know what? I got to say, I feel like that for $300,000, I it's just got to be a deal for this car with this kind. I mean, just having the name McLaren. So for those who are listening that cannot afford $300,000, such as myself, my car was like, you know, $150, and I was, believe me, my wife and I still argue about this car all the time. It was like, I'm 57 years old. I should be able to do this at this point in my life. But the reality is that you need people. You need to take these cars for a ride once in your life so that you can have it be the golden ring that you want to reach for in life. These cars are life changers. They make blood surge into areas of your body that no Viagra can reach, if you know what I'm saying, gentlemen. So I don't know. It's just something special about a car like a McLaren, you know, and or the Ford GT and even my Viper ACR. I mean, that I drove it the other day, and I came into my office. It's so funny. I have a big office, a lot of people, and I walked through the front door after driving my Viper ACR, and I just literally, I went, ah! Everybody looked at me like, what happened? I go, I'm driving my Viper. It brings something out in you, you know? Oh, God, anyway, I'm sweating. So when are they going to be available, this McLaren 720S?
You know, I think they're taking orders now, and I think they come. I think they come to the U.S. in the fall because it is a 2018 model, but they're starting regular production and starting up early customer deliveries now.
Okay, how old are you, Michael? Just curious. I'm just curious.
I just turned. What year is it? I just turned 39.
Oh, see, now,
right? Yeah,
you're that guy right there. You're at that age where you're going, if I could buy a car, and money was not an object, up to say $300,000 or $400,000. Where does this fit into that realm of, you know, yes, I might buy the GT or the McLaren, you know, or the Viper or God knows whatever else fits into that. Where does this one fit for you?
You know, I got to say it fits pretty high up there.
Yeah.
I don't really know, even if I had money, no object, if that's what I'd, you know, if I'd still spend the money. You know, we had another guy on our staff, Alex Kirstein, drive the 911 GT3, and you go, you know, that's pretty neat too, but yeah, this thing's pretty high up there, especially because, like I said, it kind of does everything. It's got great visibility. You can see behind it, which is a rarity in supercars. It's got, you know, the trunk in the front. It is kind of, you know, besides the fact that it's super wide and you probably scrape it here or there, and you can really drive it everywhere. So to that sense, like, you could get away with saying, like, no, this is really, like, this is a real car. It's not just an expensive toy that
get you speeding tickets.
Right, right. Well, you know, and it's like, you know, the Viper, you've driven them. They're kind of difficult to get in and out of. And for a guy like myself, who is just a little over 5 foot fat, you know, getting in and out is it takes a certain amount of put your legs out first and then grab the steering wheel and grab the side and lift yourself up. And same with getting in. So you're saying this car is not difficult to get in and out of? It's easier?
No, they've got the McLaren doors that swing up. I mean, that's one thing that might keep me from getting it is I'm not the kind of person to make a spectacle every time I show up somewhere. But the doors swing up and out, and this time it cuts into the roof.
Ah.
So you can, you know, you don't have to duck as you're getting in.
Right.
So, yeah, it's pretty easy to get in and out of.
Nice. The McLaren 720S, everybody. 2018, taking orders now. It's going to touch probably 300 grand, like he was saying. No gas guzzler tax. What engine does it have?
It has a new, so they took their 3.8 twin turbo and they stroked it out to 4 liters. And they say it's like 41% new parts and that they have room to grow. So, you know, you think like this replaces the 650. If you know McLaren's that well, they have like the 500 series and then the 600 was the super series. Now it's the 720. And so they're going to make faster versions than this that aren't the like super, super cars like the P1, which is really ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, McLaren has that name that is just, it feels good to say it. If you're a car guy, you're like, Oh, McLaren. It's one of those names, you know. Glad you got to drive it. You know, it's, look, when we're talking supercars, we geek out over this stuff. Can't help ourselves, people. Just can't help it. Autoblog.com, the story going to be up pretty quick about it, or is it already there?
It is already up. We got a little video that we made, too. It's all there.
Awesome. Well, you're a good man.
GT3 as well, and the Ford's coming next week.
Okay. Well, there you have it. You guys, this is a very cool website. If you love cars the way I love cars, autoblog.com, you can find all kinds of news and all kinds of great stuff. And so many great resources for us car-loving crazies out there. Autoblog's on the top of my list. Right along the, you know, Kelley Blue Book, those kind of things. You got to trust the folks you run with. And I'm part of your tribe, you're part of my tribe, and our listeners, you know, we're influencing them. So, Michael Austin, thank you, brother.
Thank you, as always.
All right, we'll be right back with more right here on The Drive. Here's a little Highway to Hell. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, now that I'm done geeking out a little bit over the McLaren, it just gets me going. Fast cars. There is also a little bit of reality we all have to think about, that not everybody can spend $300, $150, $450 grand, $1 million on a supercar. Some people have $10,000 to spend. Some people have $20, $30. A little more reality there. J.D. Power & Associates just put out a study called the U.S. Tech Choice Study, now in its third year, examines consumer awareness, interest, and price elasticity for various future and emerging technologies, you know, autonomous cars and all that kind of stuff. And Kristen Kolage is here from J.D. Power & Associates. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about this stuff because there's so much happening, Kristen. When it comes to supercars, we've got, you know, 600, 700, 840 horsepower in the Demon. And then we've got these tiny little three-cylinder engines and electric cars and autonomous driving cars and all this. And there's so many choices that are so, you know, sweet and salty, so amazingly different than the other. Personally, I like them all. I like to have that what I'll call sweet, the, you know, the fast cars, the supercars. I drive a Dodge Viper ACR, which is just a violent machine. But I also like to jump into a Lincoln, you know, every now and then and just be bathed in comfort and quiet and just the nice soft leather and just a wonderful driving experience. So tell us about this U.S. Tech Choice study.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having me on today, Alan. I appreciate that. You know, what we're seeing from these consumers is that they actually are raising their hand and saying, I need help driving. I need help managing all that's going on. And we actually see quite a bit of interest in technologies that help the driver see. Mm. And this can mean even having an extra set of eyes with these cameras and sensors that are on the vehicle to help them be more aware of what's going on.
Right.
Around.
Like City Smart and City Safety from Volvo, and the fact that even we're sponsored by Subaru, the new Subaru will, you know, it'll slam on the brakes if you're not watching and paying attention. Most of these newer cars have these capabilities, and sometimes you have to pay up for them. But, you know, it's funny because as you talk about that, we used to call that the distracted driver. And it used to be that it was something you brought into the car, like your phone, and you would get distracted by it. But anymore, I'm saying you're right, that there's so much going on in that car with buttons on the steering wheel and even the ability to use motion control to wave your hand to turn the volume up and down or accept a call. And just trying to remember, and the learning curve for all this stuff is, it's distracting. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Between that and the speeds that we drive and the amount of traffic that's there, and even you can consider vehicle styling, right? The size of your headrest or your pillars. A lot of these aren't necessarily conducive to understanding what all is going on around you. So that's where the consumer saying, I need help, is really coming through loud and clear.
So what would you say pops out in this U.S. Tech Choice study that just came out through J.D. Power & Associates, your company? Give us a couple of the salient points.
One of the things that was really interesting to us is, you know, we're looking at this future space, and certainly we can't talk about the future without talking about automated vehicle technology. And the element that we see going on this year is really this growing amount of skepticism by the consumers, where they're saying, I definitely do not trust self-driving. And this has grown nearly for all generations this year in comparison to last year.
Really?
So even though manufacturers have made tremendous strides over this last calendar year with the automated technology, the affordability, its capability, it's not necessarily resonating in building trust with consumers.
Okay, now this to me is actually interesting to hear, because if you asked me if I thought confidence had gone up, I would have said, well, it must have. It's gone up with me, but that's because I'm immersed in it. Stay with us. We're going to find out more about this U.S. Tech Choice study from J.D. Power & Associates. You're listening to The Drive, and our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. We'll be right back. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, this show brought to you in part by Brembo. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. Best on the market. Joining us right now from J.D. Power & Associates is Kristen Kolage. And she is the, she's the person that just knows everything about this new study. The U.S. Tech Choice Study. What is your title there at J.D. Power, Kristen?
I am responsible for driver interaction and human-machine interface, so that's how we interact with the technology in our vehicle.
Gosh, does that all fit on a business card?
Not very well.
So what we just talked about was that the consumer confidence in the autonomous driving car is not as high as we all in the car business thought it would be by now. It's actually seemed to have dropped off a little bit, which is very interesting to me. What other bits and pieces of this study can you share with us that are top of mind for this?
Well, you know, kind of continuing on this trust element, what we see here is that it's really not a capability issue with the technology. We've got to go back at this emotional element of trust. test and thinking, so if it's not demonstrating to consumers that we have so many test miles and success of these vehicles on the road, what is it? What we're seeing is it's going to come back to this element of experiencing the technology. So we see with Tesla owners, who arguably have had the most amount of experience with automated features of any other manufacturer, when we look at Tesla owners and their reaction to autonomous vehicles, they actually have double the trust and double the interest in automated vehicles, really coming back and proving the fact of having this experience and having a positive experience will build this trust.
Isn't that interesting? What about, and I'm curious because of where we are in the world today, cybersecurity and threats in that regard?
Absolutely. That's top of mind with these consumers looking at the potential for vehicles to be hacked or hijacked, or, you know, what's going to happen with a technology failure. Many questions at this point in time that these consumers have, and they don't necessarily have the assurance of what's going to happen in those situations yet. So much more communication and transparency needs to occur to help build this level of confidence.
Mm. So in that case, what are people loving on right now?
Loving on safety, loving on the individual automated features, which might sound a bit of a hypocrisy to what we just talked about. I mean, they love the individual levels of automation. It's just making that jump to a vehicle that they're giving up control, or what they think they're giving up full control. That's where the leap is happening. But these individual automated features, they are just off the charts high for level of interest as well as willingness to pay for the technology, which is really what it comes down to. Are they going to buy this technology when it is available?
Right, because the tech package could be really expensive sometimes. So there's still, what you're saying is this study shows that they're actually willing to pay for, you know, all these different collision protection systems and driver assistance to keep you, you know, from going out of your lane departure warning system and automatic emergency braking. And I happen to agree, because once you've experienced it, you're like, oh, got to have that, you know?
Yes, it's almost hard to go back. It's almost unusual to drive a vehicle without it once you've become accustomed and acclimated to relying on that type of technology.
Was there anything else that surprised you besides the fact that folks are not so happy with the fact that, you know, the autonomous car is coming and they don't feel very confident about that? Anything last thoughts on that?
You know, the other element was just, you know, we started doing a lot of investigation into Generation Z. So I know that in the past we talked a lot about Generation Y and these millennials. And so now it's starting to look at who's next and what are their wants and needs. And we really see a unique customer coming there that has their sights set high on technology and willingness to purchase these technologies. So wow. It's going to be a fun segment to watch.
Well, it's interesting, because what comes after Generation Z? Do they start over again? It's like, are we that far down the road that the alphabet is not enough anymore? Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? You have been great. Thank you so much. Where can people find information on this U.S. Tech Choice study at J.D. Power?
At jdpower.com.
Okay, very good. Kristen Kolage, thank you very much. It's all very interesting, and we're always happy to share J.D. Power and Associates studies, because J.D. Power is the voice of the customer. That means you folks out there, when you buy a car, you fill out that thing that says, how did your car perform the first couple of months and the first year, and what did you like, what did you not like, all that. That's how they gather their information at J.D. Power. All right, that's about it for this hour. I'm Alan Taylor, and we're here every week talking cars, sometimes a little crazier than others, but we love cars, and you guys are our best friend. We want to hear you back. See you next week. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out, because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.